Appeals is now in session. Judge Reyes, Judge Frisch, Judge Kirk, the Honorable Peter M. Reyes Jr. presiding.
Good morning. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. I realize that you cannot see me. I am connected and I can see all of you. My apologies for some reason I'm having a slight technical difficulties here. Can everybody hear me okay? And let me start with my colleagues, Judge Jennifer Frisch. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Judge Michael Kirk, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, good. I can hear both of you. And let's go to appellant's counsel.
So we'll get everybody up there.
Richard Kirat for the appellants is here, Your Honors.
Okay, thank you. And then the counsel for respondent, can you hear me?
Your Honor, there are two counsel. I'm Ken Bayless, and I'm appearing on behalf of South Harbor Township.
Okay, and then counsel for Zuckerman.
Good morning, Your Honor. This is Robert Rupi on behalf of Corey and Rupi on behalf of the Zuckerman respondents.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks to all of you. Today is Thursday, July 30th, 2020. We have three cases on our calendar for oral argument today, and this is the first of those three. This is case number A20-0135, Radfield v. South Harbor Township et al. And we are holding these arguments virtually through WebEx. Again, my apologies for the delay. That was on my end because I'm sorry, you had a comment, Mr. Court?
Excuse me, no, I'm trying to make sure that I have the grid all up here.
Okay. So this is the first of three oral arguments for today. We're holding these arguments via WebEx. We do have any technical difficulties, and if it occurs during oral arguments themselves, we'll do our best to make sure that we give each of the parties sufficient time to make their arguments. A counsel for appellants, you will have 15 minutes for your arguments, and then counsel for respondents, you will have 15 minutes. It's my understanding that respondents will be splitting their time, 7.5 minutes for counsel for South Harbor Township, and then 7.5 minutes counsel for Zuckerman. We will be following the regular rules in terms of 15 minutes for appellant, 15 minutes for respondent, and 5 minutes for rebuttal by appellants, if you so choose. We will also make sure that there's a timer that you can see. So one of the windows will have the time so you can see how much time that you have left. And with that, counsel for appellants, you may begin.
Thank you. I'm Richard Kirat, and I represent a group of owners of lakefront property on Lake Mille Lacs. They're the appellants in this case. And I'm going to begin by briefly telling you the story of what has gotten us here. Mazamity Point is a peninsula, a strip of land in South Harbor Township that juts out into Lake Mille Lacs. And Joby Properties, one of the defendants, owns a land at the end of the point. In 2003, Joby Properties, through the Zuckermans, petitioned South Harbor Township to establish a cartway over the land of neighboring landowners situated on Mazamity Point. And South Harbor Township granted the petition establishing the cartway and awarded damages payable by Joby Properties for the taking of the neighboring land. The damages awarded by the township were $43,000. Now, the landowners did not want the cartway and disagreed with the damages as awarded, so they appealed the township's decision to the district court. And the township's decision went through a trial, and after the trial on the cartway damage, a decision was issued by a district court judge, by Judge Stephen Anderson of Mille Lacs County. And the decision allowed the establishment of the cartway to stand, but increased the damages to be paid from the $43,000 to approximately $232,000. And the increase is significant because we think that changed how the parties acted afterwards. In any case, that district court decision that was entered, that was decided, was entered as a judgment on July.
What can we do to try and deal with this?
Actually, we can hear you now through the, if you're speaking through your phone.
Okay. Should I just then continue on?
Yes, please.
You don't need me to restart at all?
No, we heard most of the background that you're providing, and we are actually familiar with the factual record and background, so certainly feel free to proceed with your arguments. We did stop the clock, so you should not have lost any time.
Okay, and I can't see a clock from where I'm going, but I'll judge the 15 minutes as best I can, and if I could get a verbal warning with a minute left, it might help.
Sure, and you have just a little bit under 13 minutes left right now.
Thank you. In any case, so what we all know here is that the district court's judgment of July 24, 2008, that this appeal is about. Some of the landowners are seeking to renew that 2008 judgment. And we get into these kind of odd questions as to whether, at least the odd questions raised by the respondents, as to whether this is really a judgment or whether something after the judgment was entered happened that make it so we cannot now renew it. And certainly the district court bought into some of respondents' arguments. So I'm going to try and respond as best I can to all of what the issues are here. From our perspective, the case is essentially as easy as 2 + 2 = 4 in arithmetic. It's not a complicated decision. My clients are parties to a judgment of proceeding setting damages for an established cartway, and 541.04 of Minnesota statute says that the parties to a judgment can renew it by separate action brought within 10 years. And my clients timely within the 10 years brought an action to renew the judgment. They should, from our perspective, be entitled to a renewal of the judgment that sets the $232,000 in cartway damages. And my analysis is that we're here because the trial court, from our perspective, found that 2 + 2 = 0. The trial court adopted the position of respondent that there was no judgment to renew. The trial court called the complaint seeking to renew the judgment defective as a matter of law. Now that term, it was not used as a term of art. There's no claim that the form of the complaint was wrong or that renewal of the judgments in general cannot be done. The trial court found that there was a judgment, there was just simply not a judgment to renew. That the defect in our complaint was that we were seeking to renew something that was not there. And logically, that requires one of two things to be true: that the July 24, 2008 decision of Judge Anderson was never a judgment, or that it was a judgment but at some point after July 24, 2008, and prior to our complaint to renew it, stopped being a judgment. Let me talk first then about July 24, 2008 decision being a judgment. What I got into in my brief was just how what a judgment is defined as. And under the rules of civil procedure, any final decision is a judgment that determines the rights of the parties. I don't see there being an issue that the July 24, 2008 was a judgment. Mr. Bayless, on behalf of the township, suggested that there's some interplay between the township road statute and the cartway statute, which means that this might not be a judgment, that this might be something less. And he quoted Judge Anderson at some point, referring to the fact, well, that this isn't a judgment in the traditional sense, where there's money that is ordered owed from one party to another. But it is a final determination of the rights of the parties, and that is a judgment definitionally. So from our perspective, there isn't any issue that there is a judgment here. I could go on further about this, but that's from our perspective as straightforward as we can make it. I'd like to hear from the respondents why they think this isn't a judgment, if they think, or that wasn't a judgment to begin with. if they take that position. So the thornier issue that that we get into, that the trial court at least bought into, were the two other things that happened here. I think the trial court really is suggesting here that that after the July 24, 2008, things happened which voided out or made the judgment not a judgment. And our position is the trial court is just wrong in adopting those positions. And the two things that the trial court relied on in taking this position, finding that there was a defect in what we were trying to do in renewing the judgment, were that the Judge Anderson's orders that eliminated the docketing of the judgment, and the Court of Appeals decision of Judge Kirk from a completely separate lawsuit. If I may, I'm going to approach those in reverse order and talk about the Court of Appeals decision
first. And counsel, just to be clear, which year, which decisions from which years are you talking about? Because we've got the two separate Court of Appeals decisions, the 2014, if I recall, and the later one, 2017.
Yes, and what I was referring to and what the trial court referred to was Judge Kirk's 2017, the September 5, 2017 Court of Appeals decision that came after the Ratfields, and just the Ratfields brought their own separate lawsuit in 2016. So that's the Court of Appeals decision that I'm going to be talking about now briefly, if the court will allow on it. What the Ratfields did in 2016 was they were frustrated because they hadn't been paid damages, and they sued, with under multiple theories.
Well, but counsel, they weren't paid damages because the cartway wasn't built. If the cartway is going to be built and used, that's when respondents have to pay the damages.
Yes, that's accurate on it. And the Court of Appeals found that they were late in doing it.
The cartway in 2016, 2017 had not even been built, correct?
It had been established but not opened. These are terms of art under the cartway statute. The cartway is established by the township filing the order. So it's uncontested here that the cartway was established by the cartway order that was entered, but it was not opened. On it and can't be opened under the terms of the statute and the terms of the order without the payment of the damages.
Right. So if it's not open, there aren't any damages to be paid, right?
Not to be paid, but the real question here at the end of this appeal is if this cartway gets opened in the future, are the damages awarded by Judge Anderson in 2008 still the damages to be paid, or is there now a second round of damages or a second cartway thing to be to happen? What we had was this.
But that's an argument that of something that may or may not occur in the future. What we need to look at is what is going on now. And looking at the 2008, 2014, 2017 decision, including the one decision by the Court of Appeals that the Minnesota Supreme Court denied PFR on, I don't understand how you get around the 2017 decision by this court that said basically you have no, first of all, you're barred under the statute of limitations to bring any claim. Second of all, you are there is no claim there because no damages are due because there's no cartway that has been opened. It's not being used at all. So it's almost kind of one way to look at it is there's no harm, there's no foul. There's nothing to be done. Your complaint claims that you're not seeking damages, but your arguments seem to indicate that you are seeking damages.
What we are seeking is for the original award to remain in place as far as what has to be paid if the cartway is ever open.
Well, counsel, let's look at your pleading. Your pleading says that there's a judgment from 2008, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, Exhibit 6 to the appellant's addendum is the 2014 order of the district court voiding that judgment? So why can't the district court, in assessing the sufficiency of your complaint under Rule 12, determine that the judgment that you are seeking to renew has been voided, and therefore there is no claim for renewal of judgment?
That wasn't what was before the judge at the time. At the time, the argument was that there was a clerical mistake in the docketing of the judgment. The judgment was, in fact, entered, and in fact, very specifically, Judge Anderson's two orders state that the judgment was, the docketing of the judgment is what is being voided. There are basically two sentences in the original 2014 order. One says that the docketing is voided, and there's also a clarification that there are no damages that are due from South Harbor Township directly.
But that's not what Judge Anderson says in his 2018 order. He says the court rescinded the four docketed judgments. So, and that happened in 2014. So those judgments that were docketed were rescinded. So where's the judgment if it's been rescinded?
It's entered but not docketed. And that's what it goes back to where it was. The reason why I included the transcript of what
how is the judgment entered? I mean, assuming it was originally entered, when it's rescinded, it's no longer entered. That's what rescinded means.
The docketing was rescinded, not the entry. If you read the wording, that's what it said, is that the judgment, the entry of the judgment was not affected by that.
It doesn't say in the 2018 order or the 2014 order that the court is rescinding the docketing. The court is saying it's rescinding the judgments, or the judgments are void. So rescinded means to take away, right?
Yes, it says, and I'm going to quote the order, 826 of the appendix, if anyone wants to follow along. And the order says the court hereby rescinds the four May 7, 2004 docketed judgments as entered in this matter by the court administrator in favor of the Ratfields and the other named defendants. And then the second paragraph is any monetary judgment against the township in this matter are void. And specifically the issue before the judge was not the validity or the appropriateness of the Cartway proceeding or the establishment of the damages. In fact, all of the parties, and it's shown clearly in the transcript portions that we submitted to the court as part of the addendum, all the parties were considering that the judgment of 2008 was going to be continuing, that there were still going to be damages, that at some point, if Joby Properties wanted to open up the Cartway, that they could, as long as they were willing to pay the $232,000 that was ordered. What was rescinded, what was undone, was the docketing, argued by the parties at the time as a clerical error, as something that couldn't be done. The distinction is that the entry of the judgments here were not to be against either of the defendants, neither of them were to be liable for damages directly. What we had in the original judgment was a determination of rights, not a setting of a judgment. And the determination of rights being that if Joby Properties wanted to open up the Cartway, they were going to have to pay a certain amount of dollars to do that. They'd have to pay it to the township first. That very specifically is the meat of the contention between the parties. Judge Anderson didn't intend to, if you read the transcript, to vacate his judgment. Nobody was assuming he was vacating his judgment. What he was doing was undoing the docketing of the judgment, which he said, and which the response we're arguing at the time was done improperly. I'm not sure if I fully convinced you or answered your question, but that's how we view it. Is there something more that I need to clarify on that issue?
No, I'm not sure if Judge Reyes can see the marshal's clock, but the time has expired.
Yeah, I just saw it. The window had been spinning, so I was not able to see it, but I do see that the time has expired. But counsel, you will have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Yeah, thank you.
And now we will return to the respondents, counsel. And I believe we will be hearing from the counsel for South Harbor Township first. Mr. Bayless, is that correct?
Harbor Township. May it please the court, counsel. This is the third trip to this court. One of the things that Mr. Carratt said was that this is really a simple and not complicated case, and 2 + 2 = 4. This is the greatest law school exam that's ever been invented, as far as I'm concerned, with a cartway that traverses 18 separate properties and has a span of years that is truly Dickensian. This is our third trip to the Court of Appeals. The specific issue that we're addressing here is the question of whether the judgment can be renewed. The court has pointed out to the language from the 2014 order that related to four of the appellants with respect to that attempt to renew a judgment. And then I would also direct the court to the 2018 order. So after the last Court of Appeals decision in 2017, we had another foray into the district court. And in that case, you can imagine that we were as thorough as we could be in drafting the language that would cover the status of the judgment. So I'd ask the court to go back and look at the language that Judge Anderson used in 2018 when he went back to revisit this for the second or third time and said that those judgments were rescinded not only with respect to the four that had earlier been done, but also the four that had later filed separate actions. The way they got back into court was that a gentleman named Winans was the one who carried the water in that second appeal in 2018 that we went before Judge Anderson on. And they said, well, Mr. Winans isn't the same as the other parties, so he gets another bite at the apple. So that's why Judge Anderson's 2018 order is even more thorough than the one the court just pointed to. I'd like to address the role of the township. There's been a lot of briefing here suggesting that the township, in this case, was somehow taking property or something like that. The reality is that the statute requires the township to essentially act as a court. We don't want to be in the middle of the what we call the Ratfields and the McCoys dispute. We have parties on both sides, the different landowners. We have one that wants a cartway, others who have land over which the cartway is going. We don't want to be involved. And we're sitting basically to adjudicate those rights. So the legislature has put us in that role. So it's not a typical situation where we're looking at acquiring property somehow for the township's benefit. Instead, what we're doing is the legislature told us that we're the adjudicating body, and that's what we're doing as best we can. Unfortunately, the legislature didn't provide a time mechanism in the cartway statute. It didn't say that, it expires. The Township Association has figured out ways we can eliminate this in all future cases by simply requiring every township that has one of these cases to put in its order that it will expire in 90 days if not paid, or 90 days or the last appeal if not paid. But that doesn't necessarily help us in this particular case where these issues and the deficiency contained in 16408 was first brought to light. So the question is, what is the practical solution here? The court in an earlier decision suggested that, well, we might compel the Zuckermans to pay, but we have no way of compelling the Zuckermans to pay. I mean, we don't have the process that a district court has. We don't have the ability to order. And frankly, the Zuckermans are very coy. They like the fact that in some ways they prevailed in the litigation. It's a trophy that they can lord over others. And so they don't want to give up that right, even though the reality is it's been 14 years and they're never going to pay to open the cartway. We all know that. And you can ask counsel what his position is on that. And I imagine Zuckerman's counsel will tell you that tap dance like he's always tap danced in addressing those concerns. So we have a situation where it's a practical matter, the cartway is just not going to be open.
Counsel, if I may stop you there, I do want to ask you, and I appreciate the fact that you're looking at it from somewhat from a neutral position, and I understand that. But here's my concern. You've represented that the Zuckermans have no intent of opening up the cartway, and that typically there is a deadline that's put in place for them to do it. So normally, in typical situation, they would have 90 days to exercise that right. If not, then they lose that right. But here, there's no language, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I didn't see any language to that effect in any of the documents in the record at all. So this is an open-ended one. So this is a little bit of an unusual situation. Couldn't the Zuckermans at some point in the future say, you know what, we have decided we want to open up the cartway after all, but because the judgments for payment, for damages, have been rescinded, we don't have to pay anything. So we're going to open up. We want to have our cake and eat it too. We want to open up the cartway, but we're not going to pay any damages. What's the word I'm looking for? What is the route that appellants could take at that point if that occurred?
Your Honor, that can't happen. The statute itself requires that the cartway cannot be opened until damages are paid. One thing to note here is that the Zuckermans have not renewed the judgment. So to the extent there is a judgment, what it is a conditional judgment that says if the Zuckermans pay, then the cartway will be opened because the township will take those paid funds and transfer them over to the landowners. But you'll note that the Zuckermans haven't renewed the judgment. It's been more than 10 years. They're not going to do it. They're not going to pay. And consequently, their conditional right to pay has expired because they didn't renew the judgment. While the Rathfields attempted to renew something that wasn't a judgment, Zuckerman hasn't attempted to renew it at all, and it's expired and gone. And I would suggest to the court that that's a way that this whole entire case can come to, the cartway can have a gentle death. The reality is that we've been engaging in these disputes for more than 10 years. I think it's 14 years. My 5-year-old daughter at the time is now in college. And the reality is there's not going to be a cartway out there. And all this court needs to do is say, first of all, that there's no judgment that's been to renew so that the Rathfields don't need to renew. And then that it's been more than 10 years and to the extent that the Zuckermans had any rights, they haven't renewed. They didn't file an action to renew, which is required under Minnesota law. And consequently, they can't do that. And even if the court didn't want to go that route, it could simply say, look, the reality is they haven't paid. They need to pay within a reasonable time. And because they haven't paid within a reasonable time, this cartway is deceased and has gone to meet its maker, that it's void. So that would be my suggestion to the court as to how this might conclude and how the cartway might have a gentle death. Thank you.
So just to be clear, and I want to focus on the last part. You said that this court could declare the cartway void.
Yes. The reality is that the damages haven't been paid. They're not going to be paid. The law generally requires that if you're going to do something, you do it within a reasonable amount of time. It hasn't been done. Zuckerman's tap dancing and playing games, and to the extent they want to do that forever, they can't do it. The cartway should be vacated by order of the court. And the township doesn't have that ability. The township doesn't have the ability to undo the district court order or the prior order of the Court of Appeals. This court has that power, though. Thank you. If you have more questions, I'm happy to answer it.
Judge Frisch or Judge Kirk, do either one of you have questions for counsel for South Harbor Township?
No, thank you.
This is Judge Kirk. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I'm just wondering, counsel, if we were to not do anything, basically, other than affirm the trial court, do you agree or disagree with the premise that at least Judge Anderson seemed to be working under, that at some point in the future, if somebody wanted to open the cartway, that at that point, these issues would have to be addressed again? It seems like you're saying if somebody doesn't renew the original July 2008 order, that it goes away in 10 years. And I'm not sure that that's the assumption Judge Anderson was operating under, at least in 2014.
Your Honor, I think we've all come to a realization that the damages aren't going to be paid. They were increased to from $40,000, I think it was, to $250,000. And Zuckerman has repeatedly been asked to pay the damages, and they say they're not going to do that. So I see your point. Then you go, at some point in the future, could that happen? The other point I'd make is that saying that the Cartway has died a gentle death is preferable, because if you look at the amount of damages, those damages were determined in a 2008 trial. And what do those damages have to do with the value of any of this real estate right now? They don't have anything to do with the value of the real estate right now or in the future. And if it's viewed as a perpetual right, then you'd be talking about a value that has nothing to do with the future value of the property. The more logical thing is simply to conclude that a party has a reasonable amount of time to pay the damages, and they haven't done it, and it's done.
Counsel, can you cite any case law to support that proposition that we could just state that and conclude that the renewal has to take place within a reasonable amount of time? It has been well over 10 years. It's been 12 years now. That has not taken place. We therefore have the ability to, the power to do that.
Your Honor, I would direct the court to all the authority that I cited in the second appeal. So the 2017 case, I specifically asked this court to make that determination and cited a lot of authority on that point and suggested ways the court could conclude that, but the court decided not to go down the particular road at that time. This is a way that the court could tie it together. Is that sufficiently helpful, Your Honor?
Yes, it is. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Any other questions from my colleagues? Okay, thank you, counsel, for South Harbor. Turn now to counsel for Robert Zuckerman et al. And you will have 7.5 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning. This is Bob Rupi on behalf of the Zuckerman respondents. I think the court has been sort of sidetracked from the issue before it. The issue before this court is not to try to rewrite the Cartway statute, which is 164.08. The issue before this court is whether the judgment that the appellants are seeking to renew should be renewed. And given the rulings of Judge Anderson in both 2014 and 2018, voiding the monetary judgment against the respondent South Harbor Township, which is how the judgment was written in originally, and that was not appealed by the appellants, and the Court of Appeals action in 2017, that's the issue where the Court of Appeals specifically found there was no pre-existing judgment against either the township or the, there's no pre-existing judgment against the township or the Zuckermans for appellants to renew. Because the Court of Appeals in 2017, in the second Court of Appeals matter, Radfield versus Stephen Zuckerman, specifically held that no monetary judgment against either South Harbor Township or the Zuckerman respondents exists. It is undisputed that currently no monetary judgment against the township or Zuckerman exists. Then the court later, a couple sentences down, said, to the extent that the Radfields request that judgment be entered on the 2008 damages award, which is that judgment that Judge Anderson issued after the trial, that claim is barred by res judicata as well as the applicable 6-year statute of limitations. There is no damages for my client to pay. Mr. Bayless keeps talking about my clients needing to pay. My clients have no damages to pay because Judge Anderson has voided that judgment, and the Court of Appeals in 2017 specifically addressed all of the appellant's arguments, including the constitutional claims, and said that to the extent that the Radfields had brought these actions, they are barred by res judicata or the applicable statute of limitations. And the Court of Appeals in 2017 specifically stated that the Radfields did not raise their constitutional claims against the Cartway statute or their slander of title claim in 2016. these issues could have been raised in the first district action and the related 2009 appeal. That was the first appellate case. Therefore, well, the district court properly concluded they are barred by res judicata and the addition to their applicable statutes of limitation.
Well, counsel, if I may stop you there, I think there's an issue of the, we've got a new Supreme Court case from 2019 that seems to change the landscape in terms of that constitutional issue. But I want to go back to the issue of the what appellants are seeking. And in their main brief, they argue that they're not actually seeking damages. They just want to make sure that there is the 2008 underlying judgment is still valid. And I don't mean to put words in their mouth, but I'm telling, just telling you how I more or less have interpreted their arguments. And what I think they're seeking is to make sure that the McCormicks don't end up trying to use the cartway without having to pay damages. So that there's still that judgment in place that if they're going to use the cartway, damages must be paid to the Ratfields and the other appellants.
But they are seeking damages. That's exactly what they're asking for. There is no other reason to renew this judgment except to keep the door open for them to try and seek damages either against South Harbor Township or my clients.
Well, let me ask you this question. Here's, if I was the Ratfields, one of my concerns would be that if the 2008 judgment has been vacated and is void, and that's the interpretation of the district court or this court, then what would prevent your clients from opening up and using the cartway and not paying any damages to appellants?
I believe that my client would have the right to, if the cartway was validly established in the first court of appeals decision, and this court in the second court of appeals decision stated that all of the damage claims raised by the applicants regarding that cartway, and it's specifically to that cartway, and it deals with the damage award, is barred against my client for their failure to bring their case in a timely fashion or fail to prosecute by bringing all their claims. That's why the res judicata action. And therefore, we have not been using the cartway, relying on the cartway. We've been using our easement rights or our prescriptive easement rights. But I think that no court has ruled on that, but it's a valid inference.
Okay, so let me just be, I just want to make sure I'm clear on this. Is it your client's position that if they wanted to use the cartway, they could now use the cartway without paying any damages?
Yes. I think it's no different than anybody else that had a valid claim. Let's take a person that, just example, a personal injury matter where somebody is grievously injured. They have the liability has been admitted by the defendant, but they have an absolute right to damages, but they have waited on their rights, and the statute of limitations has now declared that those rights are over with.
Okay, I have to say, counsel, that actually concerns me quite a bit to hear you take that position, because it sounds like I said to counsel for South Harbor Township, it sounds like your clients want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to be able to have the cartway without having to pay any damages. But you, under the cartway statute, if you want to have the cartway, you have to pay damages first.
I think I agree. Under the cartway statute, the cartway does say you have to pay the damages first. To date, we have not been using the cartway. We have been using our prescriptive easement rights or the easement rights that have been granted by the various property owners. However, I've tried to answer your question honestly, what I think a logical inference is based on the case law that has gone before in this matter, where the case has said where the damages have been, or the judgment has been voided, and where this court has specifically stated in the last Court of Appeals action that to it's undisputed that no monetary judgment against the township or Zuckerman's exists. So if my client is using the cartway, but this court has already ruled that there is no damages that are owed for that use because there's no, they waited and they lost their rights based on the statute of limitations or res judicata. And it was specifically dealing with the damage award because this court said, to the extent that the Radfields request that judgment be entered on the 2008 damage award, that claim is barred by res judicata as well as the applicable six-year statute of limitations.
So in other words, you're putting the cart before the damages then.
I'm not sure I understand that comment. I'm sorry.
I think you're putting the cart before the damages. You're putting the cartway before the damages, but the damages have to be paid before the cartway. So my question to you is why shouldn't this court just void the cartway to prevent, because your client has not sought to execute its rights in a timely fashion. Typically, it's 90 days that a party is given. Why shouldn't this court exercise its authority to void the cartway judgment in favor of the McCormicks then?
That there is no applicant, either applicant nor Mr. Bayless have cited any case law to that effect. That issue has not been briefed before this court. This is what Ken Bayless is asking the court is to take a whole different path than what was before this court. What's before this court is this judgment, and to go down and try to, in a sense, rewrite 100 years of cartway law is, without having that fully briefed, I guess I would not be so inclined to encourage this court to do so.
Well, but wouldn't, this court is also a court of equity. It seems to me that the position that you're taking is, because there's no damages, because we did not exercise our right over a 12-year period to the cartway by first paying damages and triggering our right to be able to use the cartway, because we haven't done that, we now have the ability, based on the court decisions, to create and use the cartway without having to pay damages. That seems inequitable to me.
It may seem inequitable, but I believe that is a valid inference based on the case law of this case. This is the judge in 2014, and in, I think it was 2016, Judge Anderson voided those judgments, and the applicants did not seek to appeal those judgments.
But and that's only the damages judgments. That's not the underlying 2008 judgment itself.
They're one and the same. Your Honor, I believe that that's my client's position and my position, that these are all one and the same. There's not a separate judgment. The judgment is, this is the determination of damages. This is what, if you want to open that cartway, this is what you need to pay. And then that judgment, and then everything has been related back to trying to pay these damages. Every lawsuit since that initial judgment has been some way for the applicants to try to force either South Harbor Township or the Zuckerman respondents to pay damages.
Aren't those judgments, though, only against South Harbor Township? Isn't it limited just to South Harbor Township?
But South Harbor Township is going to seek those damages against my client as the cartway petitioner. We're the real party in interest.
But there's no vacation of judgment against the Zuckermans, or I'm sorry, of the McCormicks.
I'm sorry. What was the question? And please again.
Well, basically, it's the docketed judgments that were rescinded were only against the South Harbor Township. There is no rescission of a judgment against the McCormicks.
But that's because this cartway statute 164.08, the action is actually against South Harbor Township. But the real party in interest,
right,
is the Zuckerman respondents as the cartway petitioners. If the damages are owed by South Harbor Township, South Harbor Township is going to cross-claim against the Zuckerman response, said, you're the Cartway petitioner, you're responsible for paying these damages. And that's why at the original trial of this matter, South Harbor Township was not involved. The Zuckerman respondents were representing the interests, because they are the ones that ultimately, if damages are awarded, they were the ones that are going to have to pay.
Okay. Thank you, counsel. Counsel for appellant, you have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Where I want to start is, if this court is thinking that Judge Anderson was intending to completely void the judgment, I believe that this court is going in the wrong direction. I cited the transcript, the May 16, 2004 transcript from the motion hearing. And in that transcript, Judge Anderson specifically said that on the record, that the order would remain in place, referring to the July 2008 order, and perfectly valid until paid. Clearly, he was not intending to void the judgment. He was intending only to void the docketing of the judgment. Now, in my brief, I cited this as being at page 17, lines 12 and 17 of the transcript. It's actually page 37. There was a typo there, but it's page 37, line 12 through 17 of the transcript. The only conclusion in reviewing what Judge Anderson said at the time and how it was argued at the time was that Judge Anderson was attempting not to completely void the judgments, but to void the docketing of the judgments as being improper, because there was no judgment against South Harbor Township. It was a judgment that established rights, what Joby Property had to do in order to open the township, not a monetary judgment against South Harbor Township due no matter what Joby Properties did. You have hit the nail on the head when you've asked the question of Council for Joby Properties, what they intend to do in the future. We are absolutely concerned that Joby Properties is intending to do exactly what they're suggesting here, to assert that they can take this property without paying any damages. That's the unconstitutional thing that they're trying to do here, is to get these property rights without paying anything to my clients, the landowners. And the court can protect that from happening simply by renewing the judgments. Briefly, with respect to the Court of Appeals decision, I really didn't speak about it before. The Court of Appeals decision in 2017 by Judge Kirk does not in any way affect the original judgment. If the original judgment was before, what was before was whether the Ratfields could, in a separate lawsuit, bring certain claims. And when the court cited res judicata as keeping the Ratfields from bringing these separate and new claims, what it was saying was that the July 2008 judgment is the thing in this case, is what established the rights of the parties, and that it could not collaterally be challenged, modified, or changed by the Ratfields bringing a second round of litigation. In other words, that we should be stuck. The Ratfields needed to be stuck with the original July 2008 order. It didn't and couldn't have any effect on the July 2008 order because that wasn't before the court. What gets us in a little hot water there is that Judge Kirk talked about the order and talked about the what Judge Anderson did to vacate the docketing of the judgments. And he talked about that everybody agreed that there's no monetary judgment against the township. And that is an accurate statement. The judgment isn't against the township. The judgment was a judgment that established rights and obligations, the rights of the landowners to receive a certain amount of damages and the obligation of Joby Properties to pay that before they opened the carpet. But it didn't allow, and that's where I think the court ended up, didn't allow them to get a judgment specifically docketed and enforced against the township. But it went a little bit further and said that if the Ratfields were trying to get a judgment entered in the second lawsuit, that they were barred by the statute of limitations and res judicata. They didn't have to try and get it entered because it was entered. The Judge Kirk was wrong if he assumed it wasn't entered. There was a judgment entered in 2008, and the record shows that there was a judgment entered in 2008. Thank you. I have nothing further.
It's highly irregular, I know, to make this inquiry, but there was a statement made that indicated the court misconstrued something I said. Could I address that point? No. Okay.
Judge Reyes, I believe you were muted.
Okay. I'm not muted. But my sound might be going as well as the video. But Mr. Bayless, you may briefly address that issue.
The only thing I wanted to say was the court thought that I said that there was a 90-day rule that applied. What I said was that after this case came down, since that time, the Township Association has included in its orders a provision that eliminates this dispute. So I just wanted to make it clear I wasn't saying that pre-existed this dispute. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Thank you, counsel, for all parties for your oral arguments and for your briefing. We appreciate it. We will be issuing an opinion within the 90-day statutory timeframe.